Also want to welcome those who are with us by means of the internet, as our worship assembly is being live streamed this morning. I know of at least one who is sick today and unable to be here bodily, but is with us by way of the internet. We appreciate the participation and the presence of every single person. You know, this is traditionally a joyful time of the year. But I don't know if you're like me or not, but I get the idea sometimes that a lot of that joy tends to be a little bit superficial. It's a season that we're always talking about celebrations. Many in the world and in the world of so-called Christianity celebrate this as the time of year when Jesus was born. There is a lot of general joy that's associated with all that goes on, and commercialism has kind of invaded everything, and in fact, I'm afraid that's the source of a lot of people's joy, is the commercialism that has been factored into this time of the year. But I'm afraid that there are many who, for one reason or the other, perhaps don't see this as a joyful time of the year. A lot of folks see more quickly than anything else this time of year those who are no longer with them. They've had to say goodbye for the last time to loved ones and cherished people in their lives, and it's times of the year like this that remind us sometimes of loss. Other reasons come into that, and the bottom line is there is a lot of superficiality in this joy. We've become good in America at pretending that everything is going well, pretending that we're happy, pretending that we've got plenty of money, pretending this and that and the other. After all, who would have more reason to be joyous and joyful than a Christian? Not because of any particular time of the year or because of any traditional celebration, even in the name of religion, but because we are God's people. And yet, because of the readily available news stream that brings into our living room or to our desktop at any moment of the day every single negative thing and tragic situation and terrible occasion, sometimes we look around us and we say, this is a messed up world. In fact, you wouldn't have to give anything but just a quick look back at 2014 and look at just a handful of the headlines, and you'd see that in one way of looking at things, terrible tragedies have overridden all of the other news and all of the other information. We've seen, for example, in this year, the rise of that new branch of terrorism known as ISIS or the Islamic State, and it seems like nothing can get in their way of going through right now Iraq and Iran and Syria, and we all wonder what's next. Back in July, the crash of that airline, the Malaysian Airline Flight 370, and to this day, the wreckage has still not been found anywhere in the Indian Ocean. We're left just to wonder for sure what's going on there. It was this year that we were reminded again of the widespread outbreak of that terrible disease, Ebola. It was this year that it was brought to our shores and caused us to look at things like that with a whole new set of thoughts. It was this year that we were reminded again of all of the abductions and murders that have taken place connected with the drug cartels in our nearest neighbor, Mexico. And every year, more and more of that spills over our border into our country, causing us again to look at that situation with a whole different line of reasoning. The death of poor Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, not just the death of a man, but all of the turmoil that grew out of that particular situation that has given rise to unspeakable things, the latest of which just took place yesterday afternoon, as a gunman walked up to a patrol car in New York City and assassinated two police officers after having announced to the world through social media that he was about to take revenge for Michael Brown. The Taliban attack on the school in Pakistan last Tuesday that took 148 lives. I could go on and on, but it becomes more and more painful to think about all of these things, and yet we're not like the proverbial ostrich who is able to stick his head in the sand and ignore the realities of the world around us. But this is not even scratching the surface. A long look at current events is really enough to turn your stomach, and it's sometimes hard to keep all of this stuff in the right perspective. And it's not just the evening news. For the past 8 or 10 years, our nation's economy has taken just about every kind of hit imaginable. Political and actual, banks failing, businesses closing, personal bankruptcies almost reaching unprecedented highs. Retirees are forced back to work every day into the workplace at a time when prices are high and incomes are low. And times like this, it seems like personal tragedies are especially hurtful. You don't need me to remind you that no less than 7 of our families here in this congregation have been stunned by the loss of loved ones within the last month. And all around us this time of year, the commercialism of the advertising industry reminds us of that joy and happiness of the season, while at the same time urging us to spend more money than we have on gifts for others, including ourselves, and we're reminded again of the power of the earthly desire for possessions. It's easy to let all of this get out of perspective. It's easy even as a Christian to let all of these kind of thoughts get in the way of the kind of things that we really need to be focused on. And most of us, I think, probably do long for those simpler times when the tail didn't wag the dog all the time. But most of us have lived long enough to realize that we're stuck with what we've got, and there's probably no going back to way back when. Indeed, some days it seems like it's taking all that we've got just to survive, and it's relatively easy to get caught up in this hand-wringing doomsday attitude that says, when is it all going to stop? But you know, it's not hard to find a period in Bible history with many parallels to our own day, no matter what we're going through at the time. That's one of the beautiful things about the Bible. is that it tells us of people who have seen times like we have, who have gone through things that have many parallels in their time with the things that happen in our time. In fact, there were many periods of time in the Bible when God's people felt like their world was coming apart around them. One such time was in the day of the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. And his little book there near the end of the Old Testament is only 3 chapters long, about 56 verses, I think, in total. And I hope you'll read it this afternoon. Not right now, but this afternoon. Because it really expresses some things that we can relate to. A few minutes ago, Shane read to us from perhaps what is the most familiar part of that book that has sometimes been referred to as Habakkuk's hymn of faith. And our lesson this morning is based on Habakkuk and the plight of God's people in his day. And for our study here, during this hour, I want to share some thoughts with you on a subject entitled Stronger Faith in a Messed Up World. Because no matter what may be on the minds of people outside these doors, I think for most of us here this morning, we could benefit from a little shot in the arm that kind of moves us a little bit closer back to our Heavenly Father. That's what I need from time to time. And so that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. Indeed, the world of Habakkuk was really messed up. Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah, was actually rebounding from the tragic death of the good king Josiah in the battle with the Egyptians. And of course, as the winners of that war, the Egyptians then took control of Judah, and Pharaoh Necho had placed Jehoiakim on the throne, and he was turning out to be one of the most godless, selfish, and tyrannical kings that ever ruled over the southern kingdom of Judah. The Assyrians had been defeated by the Babylonians, who were on the rise, and because of their sins, the kingdom of Judah had been being reminded again and again, and the reminders were coming even closer together and more clearly that they were about to be conquered and carried away into captivity by the dreaded, hated, cruel Babylonians. Very little was going well in the kingdom of Judah. And Habakkuk is there right in the middle of it with the responsibility of trying to get people closer to God, get them away from their sins, urge them to repent and turn from their wicked way. And Habakkuk is a little bit confused himself. And essentially in chapter 1, he wants to know why it is that God is going to punish his people with such a cruel, sinful group of people like the Babylonians. And it looks like to Habakkuk that God may have just given up on them and no longer cares. Maybe you've been at the point at which you felt like God just really didn't care anymore. First of all, let me assure you that that was not the case. It is not the case. It never will be the case. It may be the case that we're confused, that we're mistaken, that we are indeed overwhelmed, but it is never the case that God doesn't care. I want us to use these thoughts as a foundation for the next few minutes and examine what I'm calling these three faith-building facts. And number one, I want us to reflect for just a minute upon every blessing. O thou fount of every blessing. We just sang those words a few minutes ago. In fact, those songs were all picked out very carefully, selected for the purpose of reminding us that no matter how bad things seem or how tough it looks like we have it, there are so many things around us that we need to thank God for. It's kind of easy to get caught up in the negativism, and I apologize if I spread a blanket of it on you in the introduction to this sermon, but it's easy to get caught up in that, isn't it? And to think about, you know, how bad things are, and we've always got a long list of the bad things that have taken place. Are we living in times today when more bad things happen than ever happened before? Sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it? I'm really not sure that's the case. I am sure of one thing. We have such a wonderful, boundless communication system today that you and I, right here in rural Elmore County, can know just as much of what's going on 30 minutes ago in every corner of this world as anybody else. And so maybe there's not much more bad happening. It's just that we learn about it so much easier and so quicker when it happens. But the forgetfulness to be thankful is a characteristic of people who see only themselves as being important. When we get caught up in worrying about what we don't have or trying to keep from losing what we do have and then trying to worry about how we're going to get more of what we want, it's a sure sign that the direction of our focus needs to be turned away from the goods and turned toward the supplier. In James chapter 1, verse 17, James reminds us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, and with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. No doubt we need regular reminders of just how greatly we are blessed every minute of our lives. We live in the greatest land in the world. And millions of people in this world would give every single thing they have to be able to live inside our borders. We have the freedom to come and go as we please without the oppressive control that a lot of people in this world have to deal with. We've got the benefit of mobility. Not just the freedom to travel, but the means to get in the car and go pretty much anywhere we want to go at any time that we want. Do you realize we're just barely three generations removed from the time when anybody that wanted to go anywhere had to either walk or ride on the back of an animal? As I said earlier, our communication system is beyond imagination. Even unbelievably better than just a generation ago. You just about can't get out of the range of a cell phone. Unless you're expecting a really, really, really important call about something. Even in these tough times, most of us still live at a level of prosperity that would be beyond the wildest dreams of most of our neighbors as close by as Mexico and Cuba, the Caribbean. And all of this comes from God. As Moses reminded the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Did you know that verse was in the Bible? It is He who gives you the power to get wealth. But those blessings are not the important ones. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul reminds us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The spiritual blessings, those things that God gives only to His children, only to those who are in Christ. We sing a song about that too. Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace flowing down from the cross for me. Not only every blessing, we need to also be reminded of the distinction. The distinction. There's a very interesting passage in Exodus chapter 11 where we find the historical setting of that day to be somewhat similar to the setting into which Habakkuk the prophet comes. God's people are being held captive in a foreign land. They're about to be released, they're about to be delivered, but right now all they see is the bad. To many of them, I'm sure it appeared that God had forgotten them. But you remember how God instructed the Israelites to kill the lamb and sprinkle the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintels of their houses. And in Exodus chapter 11, beginning in verse 4, here's what Moses told the Israelites that God had said. Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, to the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, as such there has never been, nor ever will be again, but not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Now, folks, there is in those words a principle that has always been the case. God makes a distinction between His people and everybody else. That distinction is still regarded by God today. And obviously, then, we need to make sure we hold up our end of that distinction. And that leads us to our concluding point for this morning, and that is the fact of God's control. To put it another way, God is still in charge. You know, it's kind of hard for me to imagine a time so difficult that I would not remember that God is still in charge. But the reality is, there can come a time in a person's life, there can come some challenges that if we're not careful and if we don't fortify ourselves with God's Word, we may draw that conclusion that God just doesn't care anymore, that God has given us over, that God has relinquished control. Habakkuk saw fit to remind us in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, but the Lord is in His holy temple, Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Bible describes God as omnipresent. He inhabits the universe. He is omnipotent. His power knows no limitations. He is omniscient. He sees all things from the beginning and knows that which is best for every creature. And furthermore, God is good and only good. God's providence is in control in the lives of the faithful. Therefore, when he makes a promise or gives a command, we need to hear him with the deepest respect. We need to obey him with the promptest diligence. We need to trust him and serve him with the utmost reverence. Psalm 68 verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation." Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. You know, there's nothing spiritually fatal about needing a little bit of improvement to our faith, as long as we seek that improvement and receive it. Even the disciples prayed to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." And so if we need a shot in the arm, then let's take advantage of what we have in God's promises, in God's record, what he has done for his people, what he has done for us, and know assuredly what he will do in the future. And oh, the greatest joy of all, eternal reward in heaven, promised to those who obey. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there never will be a better time than now to do that. If you believe in Jesus as God's Son, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in him, and to be baptized into Christ, your sins will be washed away. Become one of God's children, a member of the Lord's family. If you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, renounce that unfaithfulness. Be forgiven and restored. And once again, serve the God of your salvation. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.